Hello and welcome to the Church of the Believers radio broadcast, making the biblical text meaningful to life. A 45-minute program from the Church of the Believers with headquarters in Imatari, ST. In today's edition of the program, the Reverend Dr. Harold Zawibo Liberty spoke from the text Nehemiah 4:1-12, and from the theme Leading Through Opposition. We will now listen to the travel choir for the sermon hymn, and after the song, the Reverend Dr. Harold Zawibo Liberty will bring you today's message. Please ask someone to listen.
Bless our time, O God. Speak to us. We are weak, O God, but you are strong. Fill up with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the day. And we thank you for what we believe you will do among us this day, in Jesus' name. Thank you. That is good. You said a big hand. Have your seat. We're glad to be here. I'm glad that almost a month out of time with you. And I just want to praise God that I'm back from my 3 weeks visit in my own hometown, the town from which I was born. And I enjoyed the 3 weeks there. And in fact, we had the Easter celebration, and the joy was the district of Nimba County came together in that town, and that was a great celebration. The churches there. So we had a nice time. All right. We, as you know, we are doing a series in Nehemiah, but we started a specific topic in that same series, which is leading through an opposition. And the week I left, the last week when I spoke here, I introduced this topic, which I believe it was just great. And today we're going to finish this part of the topic in continuation of our study. And I'm glad that the church, thank you, all the elders of the Headquarters Church, thank you so much. During my absence, people did great. I got good news. Even when I was home, when our church administrator came there, Brother Gizzy, to spend some time with us, he told me how people wonderfully celebrated the Easter here. And I'm so excited about that. Thank you, Brother Gizzy, who stepped in for me for the few weeks that I was not here, Sister Matty and others, Digumba, I don't know the name, all of you. But I'm back now, and I want to thank you. Even though I came down with little malaria, I have not had malaria for 20 years. But, you know, it came, and so malaria welcomed me to Liberia. But anyway, I thank God that within a week time, I was able to get out from there. So, thank you so much for all that you've been doing. Okay, let's get to business now. Leading through an opposition. And I want you to pay attention to those that are with me through regularly and those who are sitting here within the church. When we are talking about leading, leadership is not only within the church alone, but I want you to see that as even in your own home, you are a leader there. Right? You have your children that you take care of, you got your home. And if you are a businessman, then of course we see leadership. In the church, we see leadership. But what I want us to look at very carefully here is that many people, when they are attacked while in leadership, the first thing that will come to their mind is, I'm resigning. I got to get out of here. If you have ever done that, you need to think about it. Well, it is an extreme case that you know you are responsible for what's going on, and the only way that you can bring peace in that church is to resign. That's okay. But there are some people, when there is an issue in the church that they're supposed to stand as the leader, they will say, I'm out of here. When I was in the state, I had a friend that I helped for some time. He had a big church of roughly 4,000 members, but he was a new pastor that was called to that church, and somebody recommended that he talk with me. And so while he and myself were talking, there was an issue going on in the church. So one day when I stopped by to see him, he said, oh, my dear brother, thank God you are here. I was just about to come to your house to talk to you about something. I said, what's going on? He said, my resignation is ready and I'm resigning from the church. I said, what's going on? He said, I can't bring up my family in this environment. I said, but the church is a great, beautiful church, over 4,000 members. So what's going on? He said, yes, I know that, but I can't bring my children up in this church. Then I look at him, and I said, brother, he said, yeah, pastor. I said, now, I'm writing a book on your mind. And I said, this is just a great time. You know, you are going through something, and my book are filling with a fire drop on your mind and see you in this kind of thing. So what I want you to do is to read my draft. Read the draft of my book, and I will talk with you. But you know, everything that glitter is not gold. I said, when you saw on the outside, this is a great church. When you get there, you will say, wow. When you look around, you will say, wow. But God brought you here because there are something rotten in the place for you to fix. You will not always be in the church that you will be happy and praising God and dancing around. But God brought you here in this church, even though it's beautiful on the outside. But the inside, that you will fix it. I can't help you. Only God can help you and myself. So let's go into it. Let's pray. You read the draft of my book and see what God is going to do. And he read the draft of my book and called me several times. He stopped by at my house. He and I went for lunch. We went for dinner. And then finally he said, pastor, I realized that God really planted me here to fix this church. And I said, praise the Lord, you got it. I said, boy, you got it. God brought you here so that you will fix the problem in this church. He, our God, is a great preacher. But what I'm saying here is that if you are a leader and you are, and every now and then you're running away from issues, you need to think whether you are getting called to be a leader. Think about it. If you are going through that right now by radio line and even in your own church, you've got a serious problem going on, and the only thought coming in, I think I gotta leave this church. No, then you're not a leader. When problem happens, you sit there and fix it. If God called you to be a leader, when it's a problem, sit there and fix it. Trust God to fix it for you. Because when you trust God and pray to Him day by day and say, God, this problem comes, I don't understand, I don't know what to do, but it is only you can fix it, God will come in and fix it. Nehemiah had a problem. That's what I'm going to tell you. Nehemiah had a problem. And this problem was, he had the sword, he had an attack. Last week when I introduced this teaching or the preaching, I told you, I discussed briefly the historical background of the opposition that Nehemiah had. And let me just recap that before we move forward, okay? And that was, Nehemiah had a problem with a man called Sanballat, who was a leader. Tobiah, who was also a leader. And then Goshen, who was a businessman. Are you there? Who was a businessman. And the reason here, there is nothing, there's no hatred that anyone will have for you without a history. If somebody hit the ground you walk on, there might be something responsible in time past, or something is going on right now, for which a person does not want to see the ground you walk on. So, here, I told you last week, they historically, Sanballat, who was leader in that region, did not come from there. He was brought in. After war went in the country and everyone was taken away, then of course the other kings brought different people into Israel to live there. So Sanballat descended king alone. Now, you understand what I'm saying? And they eat and possess the land that they never owned. So they are there. Then we see Tobiah. Tobiah also, when Israel was taken away, and for 7 years, and God began to bring them back home, Tobiah came with Zerubbabel, his descendant, his father came with Zerubbabel. But when he came, he claimed to be a priest. His grandfather claimed to be a priest. But when Israel got into Jerusalem, when they looked at their record, they found out that there was nothing about Tobiah in the family line. Are you there?
Yeah.
And so Zerubbabel told him, hey, we're not saying do not approve, but we can't serve right now until we got another priest who will come in and tell us exactly whether you are the right person or not. So that got him angry, and he went out there. So his son became leader. Listen, right? His son became leader. Now they will have come from the king, giving him power as governor to come and do what? And rebuild Jerusalem. So there, what do you think will happen? When Nehemiah succeeds, then of course they will have no job. When Nehemiah succeeds, then of course Samaria will fall to them. And so they have that problem. We have a man called Goshen. Goshen was a businessman. But he got into the coalition because he was a businessman. And when Nehemiah began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah said, no selling on Sunday. No selling on Saturday. You can't sell anything. So Goshen got mad. He didn't kick into the coalition because he was a businessman. That was a problem with his business. So he came because he got money. You know, when you got money, you can't do anything. So he got in with a hierarchy of leadership at a time with Samuel and Tobiah, and it became three great men to fight in Nehemiah. Now, let me tell you one thing. If you call yourself a man of God, if you call yourself a leader anywhere, even in government, and you are afraid of enemy, then you're not a leader. Because it will always be there. When enemy comes, the way you deal with the situation makes you to be a leader. So these three guys stood. They got reason for fighting, right? Because if Nehemiah succeeds and he is pronounced to be the overall governor of all Israel, somebody will have no more job. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tobiah will have no more job.
Yeah.
God's better will bring up your nose on this side. So they said, we will send a guy to get him out. Talk to somebody and then they get fighting for no reason. For their own personal greed, they think that they want to pass through. So they come and fight you. So they say, we're going to fight this guy.
And I just love what is going on here. I just love it.
So because of those things, they were fighting. Now, what I'm going to say is, for the past lecture that I have done here, I told you that before Nehemiah left to come, the king, who was the overall boss, gave him letter, gave him soldiers, gave him letter to all the leaders beyond the river, that is Samuel, Tobiah, so that he was telling this man to do the job.
Yep.
Then why were they fighting for? They had nowhere to fight, but they were fighting because of insecurity.
You get the point?
If I allow this man to come and take over the land on which I live, does not belong to me, it belongs to him. I get that.
Yeah.
You got what I'm talking about? Somebody is living in your house by hope or crook. And then the person here says, if they do, they will not do back. And then you who in that house to empower. You can sympathize to still be in that house. If you don't do that, that means that you will lose that house and lose everything.
So all the fighting that Sambala, Tobiah, and his body were doing, they got no reason for fighting. They were only doing that for insecurity. And please note this very carefully. So some people fight because of insecurity. Now, in our final topic today, we did an introduction, and we're leading through an opposition. We're going to look at three things. We're going to wrap it up right away. You know, today is quite Sunday. We have to serve our communion and all that. We're going to wrap it up. All right. And leading through an opposition, the first thing that you can do as a leader, listen carefully. And godly leader prays for victory against any opposition.
When you are a godly leader, wherever you are, always pray
to God for victory against the enemy. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes.
Paul said, God, I need victory over the enemy. Lead me, get me straight. Show me what to do.
The second thing is, a godly leader pray against the enemy's plan to attack.
Now, you always pray against the enemy, and also pray against their plan to attack you. Huh? You hear what I'm saying? When you are praying against the enemy opposition, also pray against his plan. Because if a plan to do some terrible thing, that he will come and nag at you, right? But also pray for that.
And the last one is,
whenever there is an issue in your life and something is bombarding you from every side, like that,
yeah.
Sometimes you burn out. Burn out means you get so tired, you get so weak. You don't want to pursue anymore. You don't want to do anything that the enemy will have you. Because when the enemy knows that you're tired, you burn out, you can't move forward, then he says, now I got you. So, a godly leader will always pray for recovery from my help. Are you praying for that? Or you just say, okay, I'm going to leave everything as it is. Let him just go ahead. Let it be the way it's going to be. No, it should not be. You need to pray that God will give you wisdom, that God will destroy that one outstretched, that you will be on fire for God.
The first thing, let's look at a godly leader prays for victory against opposition. You need to know that, let's see what Nehemiah is saying here, and I love it here. You see here? Let me just read here. It says, listen, somebody read it, but let me read that, and this is from the NIV version of the Bible. He said, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates, and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stone back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite.
Uh-huh. The two men are working together right now, right? So, Sanballat, who is it? The chief said, look at these defeated Jews. They said they are rebuilding the walls, and even the wall that they are building, even when a fox, see how it, when a fox climbed, they will break it down. He said, when a fox climbed, they will break it down. Then, Tobiah said, yes, I agree with you, my brother. They are not, you know, the enemy will always support each other. You think it's not all right? They will always support each other.
Now this guy came and then ridiculed and said, what are you doing? You're not doing nothing here.
Even the fox can break down this thing.
You can't even sacrifice your animal and tell them so.
Then he bows up. He said, yes, I agree.
Two men speaking because why? They are fighting for what? They are fighting for their positions.
They are fighting for the land on which they live.
Because they don't want Nehemiah to succeed. Tobiah, the Ammonite who was at his side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbed up on it, he will break down their wall of stone.
See what he did? Yeah, he said, even fox, all these stones that they were on, when a little fox climbed on it, the wall will come down. That means
you have not done nothing at all.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
That means you have not done nothing at all. That's what they say.
But when Nehemiah heard that,
whenever you hear the ridicule, whenever people say that you have nothing, you will not do nothing in life.
Whenever you hear somebody say it will not happen in this life, you just waste your own time. That one thing you do, learn suffering from Nehemiah. Go on your knees and pray.
Hallelujah! Nehemiah said, hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insult back on their own head. Get them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have
throwing insult in the face of the builder. So we built the wall till all of it which had its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Praise and all. Praise and all. Now, hear this, what is going on here. When they went to start Nehemiah, let me just get to the way. They want to do some work in the yard. All the members are here, right? And you ready to work, huh? Then you see the chief of staff, the governor of that area. I think I already got it. Chief of staff, the governor of that area, marching in here with the soldiers. And they come and say, what are you guys doing here? Well, we're going to build a house here. You can't do that. You will be defying the president. We will tell President Johnson about it. You can't do that. You can't do it. Then the assistant chief of staff came and said, my man, anybody who that is just nothing, they don't go see that whole time. Now, what will happen to you? When you look around, you see the team of staff, right? You know that you have the ability to come upon anger to come and do anything to you, right? And so, what will develop there right now? They don't fear. That money, you can't be around it. Very man, the little fear will come. But this is what was done to Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah, in his prayer, I read the prayer, right? But I want us to look at the prayer in, I want to look at the prayer in. There are three major things he said in the prayer. Three. Number one, he said that God will turn the enemy's insult back on them. The first thing he said was, God, I want you, the insult that they have insulted us, that you will turn it away. Back to them. That's the first thing he said. Then the second thing he said, that God will plunder them in a land of captivity. See what he said there? God not only plunder to them, but make them captive in different countries. And the latter, he said, that their sin would not be covered in God's sight. Oh, God, that you will not cover their sin from time to time. So you got what? You got Nehemiah prayer. That was a very tough prayer, right? Yes, it was a very tough prayer. Let's look at the prayer separately. Okay, let's look at it one by one. That's what I mean. Okay. He said, turn their insult on their own head. Now, what we see here, this entire prayer is what we call imprecatory prayer. Now, let me explain to you what it means. Imprecatory prayer is a prayer that was prayed in the Old Testament when you do me, I do you most of all. Right? Yeah. When you cross me, I cross you. Yeah. When you throw my child down, I will throw the child down the same way you did. And then if you want me to get trouble, then you will get a worse of trouble. So I will pray until the whole house will be in trouble. Okay. And that's a prayer we have to. All right. And that's the prayer we have many churches are praying today. Yeah. But I don't know what a New Testament prayer would be. So here, imprecatory prayer was a prayer that was prayed for God to bring judgment upon the enemies of God. That God would bring judgment upon the enemies. Are you following what I'm saying? That was the kind of prayer. God, my enemy, you want to see me, you stop them, you do all the evil you can do for them, they will not survive, their sin will not be forgiven. Now, there are 10 imprecatory prayers in Psalms. You can see that from Psalm 7, Psalm 35, Psalm 55, Psalm 58, Psalm 59, Psalm 69, Psalm 79, Psalm 109, and Psalm 137. And Psalm 139. Now these are imprecatory prayers that the psalmist prayed for God to judge his people. Today, you're invoking God's curses on your enemy. Nehemiah said, God, I want these people to suffer that the insult that they have done will come on themselves. And the second thing is gave them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Now, God, the second thing we do, let somebody capture them, take them to three countries, they will be saved. Huh? Yeah. I see today, I think many people agree with this kind of prayer. I want my enemy, they hold the gift for me, I jump away and I pull you there. Yeah. I pull all your children there. I pull all the children who not in my for them. The children who are there. You cannot be born there. Are you the same people? Hallelujah. That's impotential prayer. That's Old Testament prayer. And that's a prayer today. I mean, it's all over the world. It's all over the country in Liberia and in Gazon. They hold it. I jump over it. And then who will get it? And then what Jesus said to do for our enemies? He said, what am I going to do? What about what Jesus said? Oh, I see. I'm not going to pass it yet. Did they say so? If the enemy, if the man, the children, the wife, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren will get in one hole because of one thing done to you, then I'll be praying to pray. Forget it, pray, I'll pray. Look at my little great-grandchildren over there. You don't even know anything about fire. You don't know that fire. Then you start facing the thing right over there to me. I want himself. I want his wife. I want his great-grandchildren to get in the hole. These are innocent people. Praise the Lord. And they will be jumping all that kind of stuff. Run away. I don't know why people do things. You know, and then I look me a text. Christ said, pray for your enemy. Maybe we don't understand that when you pray for your enemy, what Christ will do will be more than what you are praying for. You don't know that one. Hallelujah. Does not know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He said, now the third one, he said, do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sin.
That one is so terrible. And you know what he said? No forgiveness for them. You mean somebody did something wrong, they go sit down and fall flat on the ground and roll and beg you and even kiss on your feet. He said, no forgiveness. And pastor, what New Testament said, how many times would you forgive our fellow man?
Seven times 70.
Yeah.
Never mind, I'm just saying that. 490, am I correct?
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Yeah. I don't know where we got those things from. You see, we gotta be careful what we say at times, what we do as a church. And as Christians, we gotta be careful what we say here. We gotta be careful, right? I know many people love imprecatory prayer. I thank God for that. Because when the enemy comes here, I'm gonna step on him, I'm gonna mark him to a day, to cross a day. Then you don't tell them when you go to the son to be pure. Then you don't go to the grandchildren. Then you say, oh, God is come. Now, anybody from the front door has heard the prayer. But this is the problem we have. So the prayer of Nehemiah was put at a time. It was an Old Testament prayer. Are you there? But I can't see myself praying that prayer right now. For any home, for any family, for anybody who has done something wrong to me. But you can do it because we got two views on that. People say, okay, it's good of you. Well, it's not good of you because that's what we want to do. That's not what the New Testament recommends. Hallelujah. Say, so you are here today. You've been praying for the person who told you that man to die. If you're in heaven, I'm not. And that prayer is fast. You better start fasting. You better start fasting and bless that person. You better start fasting and say, God, that person, you touch him, you bless his life, you make him to know that you are God Almighty, and you will see what God will do. Imprecatory prayer, he said, no forgiveness. You know, no forgiveness at all. No forgiveness. Now let's go to the second thing, which is Nehemiah and Ahab plan to attack him. Yeah.
Well, they have planned because they met and said, let's die, and we allow him to succeed, we're not going to be here.
Don't miss the point that I want you to grab in the whole teaching. They were not acting because the devil had to act, but they were trying to save themselves. You get the point? They were trying to save themselves. So that was the problem over there. The enemy began a new strategy to start the project. After that one, the enemy came back again. You know what they did? But when Sambala, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gates were being closed, they were angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it.
The first one was what? My death was from army and forces foolishly. Well, they right there doing nothing. Even the fox up there, they want to come down and then you got all the army got with him, you know, the law that they start walking behind him. Hallelujah! Everybody said, I know this guy went to Yamuta. But when they got there, the men worked so much until the new one that the wall was almost beaten. So they had to come back because they don't plan to hide them. So any of them have to tell you. That's the right thing that I do. You believe the name of Jesus Christ because you will not get tired. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, whatever steps you take, Christ knows nothing. Christ knows what to do. When they find us, they say, okay, now, let's see. This man was sent by the king. This man was commissioned as governor as well. Nothing we can do. But we would create chaos. Why is he here? And then we rely on him. Then the whole project will stop. Is that a good plan? Yeah. For them, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good plan. Because you know, anywhere they turn, they can't get paid. So they say, what we're going to do now is we're going to create gas soldiers, they're not to go and attack them, and when there's a heavy casualty and a lot of people die, then the news will go to the king that Nehemiah caused war in the country and many people die, and it will stop the project. Huh? Your enemy can't get tired. He will always be there, but you know what you do? Let me tell you again.
Leave that way, Jesus, and Lord. Whatever he does, just it is in your hand, buddy. I can't do nothing. It is in your hand. You will see what God will do, and that's what God did.
That's what God did in the life of Nehemiah. Now, you know, they went and hired another group. They called them Ashdod.
How can God compare them? And to prepare them with missionaries that go hire in different countries. Yeah. They are trained people, you pay money for them, and they just come to fight.
And so, when the people heard that the
Ashdods were coming to fight alongside of the people,
oh no, it was not an easy thing. The Ashdods are coming to fight us? Ha! Wow! And when they heard that they were coming to fight,
the people against them were afraid. They were afraid. Honestly, they were right to be afraid because anything could happen. They were afraid.
Hear what I want to let you know. Now, they were afraid
and something happened. When they got afraid, then they called Nehemiah in a meeting. Everything will not be good when you are a leader. I will give you your own great leader will point somewhere. It's not time to stop now. Everything will close down. You got to go. But a good leader who listens to God, who knows he's going to need and pray, and he knows that God is speaking through him whenever God does anything that is terrible. You haven't seen that before where something happened to a leader, then all your key men and they say, my man, let's just go up. And no more time. We failed. Everything quiet. And say, you know what they did? They didn't give them their money. They hired the money. Yeah. But what they pretended was, Nehemiah, the robbers are so bad, we're not able to get money from. And you saw it before we started the job. See, but the main thing there was, the people that were coming to fight, they were so powerful, so Ezra was afraid they were being human. And they said, we don't want to fight no more. We don't want to build anything to move down, because when these people come, they will die crushing us.
Hallelujah! There was a burnout in the camp of Nehemiah.
That's the third point. There was what? A burnout in the camp of Nehemiah.
Everybody was weak. They said, wow, we can't do this. There was a burnout. There was a burnout within the camp of Nehemiah. So, but,
you know, when you are praying and you are a man of God, and you depend on God, and you are praying every day, even when the people when they are weak, God will give you strength with your money. When they all came and said, Nehemiah, we are tired. The robbers are so much, we can't go no more.
Nehemiah said, okay, but I got a good news for you. You got to fight for your God. You got to fight for your children. You got to fight for your own home. And I tell you, God sent me to rebuild this place that you will have a home again. And you follow me, then I'll take our promises, our messages, and go and wait to finish the job.
When Nehemiah said that, the Spirit of God moves in his word.
Yeah. And all the men who were tired, they started shaking. We gotta fight! We gotta fight!
Yeah.
Some of them said, I'm going to fight because I can't be still here right now. I'm going to fight because when we finish it, then we will have a home to stay in.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
If you are a man of God, there will be burnt out in your camp.
Weakness will come. You just will be tired. But trust God. Keep trusting God.
Keep trusting God.
And let me just conclude this.
Prayer is the key to fight opposition in ministry.
Really? The key to fight anything is prayer.
Are you here, pastors?
Oh, although I really learned, anything happening in your life, even in your ministry, even in your own home, just go on your knees and pray. And tell Jesus,
things are not going right, get on your knees and pray. A godly leader needs to focus on prayer. He is required to encourage the people to become prayer warriors.
Hallelujah!
And I thank God, you know,
let me give ourselves, hey, I'm going to do that for the first time, right? Yeah, let me give ourselves a little praise, right? Yeah, you see the women here? See them here? Of course, we all do pray, but these are the designated assigned prayer warriors that are in the house on a daily basis to pray. So if you want the church to move, you got to get the prayer warriors moving, you got to get the pastor praying, you got to get the choir praying, you got to get the choir praying, the deacon praying, the member praying, and God is going to move in a mighty way.
God will always move. You got to give him thanks. We gotta
look at the prayer life of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because Jesus prayed every hour, everywhere he went. He was praying. We need to do that as great leaders. Why? Because the enemy will not get tired, but once you are praying, God will not get tired of protecting you.
Hallelujah! God will never get tired of protecting you. So here is this is what I want you to know, that
prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Do not give up. Even in your home.
You get a point.
Even in your home when there's a problem. Do not give up. Depend on God always.
God is the one that will do it and you will be victorious. A great leader is always a man of prayer, leading his people through
crisis. If you can't lead the people through crisis, you are not a leader. Praise the Lord.
Shall we stand? Shall we stand? All I've said today, if you don't take anything home, I want you to take this one. Take this. Leading through opposition can only be done you are faithful on your knees. Only God can do it through us. It happened in the life of Nehemiah. It is happening in the life of other great men of God globally. Even in your home, allow God to lead. If you have crisis, that's the best time you need our leadership. If you can't lead through crisis and then you just give out, then you're not a leader. You must lead through crisis to the glory of God. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with the people of God forever. Let the church say amen. Let us say thank you, Jesus. Just to the right, shake somebody's hand right beside you and say God bless you.
You just listened to the senior pastor of the Headquarters Church of the Believers in New Matadi ST, the Reverend Dr. Aaron Zawubo Liberty, preach from the text Nehemiah 4:1-12 and the theme Leading Through Opposition. If you wish to worship with us this Sunday, we are located opposite the Don Bosco Youth Center in New Matadi ST. Our worship service starts at 11 a.m. and ends at 12:30 p.m. Thanks for being there. We will come your way next week. Same time, same station. I am Afra Jeezy, the producer. Bye-bye.
Shine in the morning, in the morning, in the morning. Your joy comes.